بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. باب كراهة الخروج من بلد وقع فيها الوباء فرارا منه وكراهة القدوم عليه. The chapter on the detestability, the dislike of fleeing from an area where there is a plague, and the dislike of going to an area where there is a plague. So one is when a person is in an area where a plague has broken out, the dislike of fleeing away, running away from there and leaving that area. And simultaneously, the dislike of going to an area where there's a plague that has broken out and you deliberately go into that area. So the hadith explains the dislike of deliberately now going into a specific area where a plague has broken out. So there's explanation to this, inshallah. We covered most of this explanation before. But just the khulasa, the gist of it, is that there are two views in Shariat. And as we read the hadith also, we'll see that from the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam coming down, it was two views. One view, the first view, both are acceptable, is that like how there is cause and effect in everything. For everything there is a cause and there is an effect. Person goes near the fire, then he'll feel hot. Person walks in the rain, then he'll get wet. This is the cause and effect of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the first view is, when a person gets a sickness that is caused through a plague, it's a cause and effect that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put in place. This is the cause and this is the effect. So this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put in place, cause and effect. The second view is, like how the first person got it. There was no cause. The first person who got affected by the plague, there was no direct cause that he may have went into contact with somebody else. There's no cause because he was the first person. So which contact could he have had? So like how Allah Pak had given him directly, the second, third, fourth, fifth people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the sickness directly. So these both are attributed and linked to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but just a different understanding as to how it is linked. One is cause and effect, and the other is directly like how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given the first person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives it to the next, the third, the fourth, the fifth. But the underlying principle is it's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi brings an ayat of the Quran. قال الله تعالى أينما تكونوا يدرككم الموت ولو كنتم في بروج مشيدة. Allah ta'ala says, wherever you may be, death will find you, even though you may be in high towers. Even though you may be in a very, very high, elevated tower, if death will find you, remember that part of it. There's no escaping death, no matter what you do, no matter how hard you try, even if you go up into an elevated tower, death will find you. But simultaneously, he brings an ayat, وَلَا تُلْقُوا بِأَيْدِيكُمْ إِلَى التَّهْلُكَةِ. Allah Pak says, do not throw your hands into destruction. Doesn't mean now death is going to find you. Now you have to be extremely foolish in what you do. You can jump into the fire, you can jump from a building, you can do something reckless. That's not what Shariat is telling you. Shariat is telling you death will find you, but at the same time you must also act in such a way that Shariat expects you to act. There's a long hadith, inshallah, we'll read it and give one nice incident. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu narrates that Hazrat Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he set out for Syria. When he reached Sarkh, a place, the army commander's place outside Syria, he reached this place. The army commanders Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah and his companions met him and informed him that a plague had broken out in Syria. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said, Umar radiallahu anhu said to me, call the first of the muhajirin. I called them. Now look, the sahaba, whenever they had an issue, they would call up a mashura, and in the mashura now they would discuss it. That in a very nice way, very organized way, they would call up mashura. No, there's no one person saying that this is the way I think it is and it has to be like that. They would call up a mashura and they will discuss it. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said, Umar radiallahu anhu said to me, call the first of the muhajirin. You know, Umar radiallahu anhu was there. He told Abdullah ibn Abbas, call the first of the muhajirin. I called him and Umar radiallahu anhu consulted them. He informed them of the plague that had broken out in Syria. They differed in opinion. Some of them said, you set out for a particular purpose and we do not think that you should divert from it. You have been set out now, you're going here to this place. We have the opinion that you must carry on. Don't divert from your purpose. Others said, would you, a people and the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we do not think that you should expose them to this plague. He said, you may go. Okay, I took your mashura. You may go on. So now what he does, he said then, call the Ansar. I called them and he consulted with them. They differed amongst themselves as the Muhajirin had done. He said, now you also may go. Something we learn from here is that when it also came to these matters, you'll find that there was a difference of opinion between the Muhajirin themselves, the Ansar themselves. So sometimes to have differences of opinion in this matter is permissible. Shariat allows for it. But look what a respectable way Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu did it. There was no fighting and there was no quarreling. And he called him, he got the opinions, and then he said, you may go. He then sent, call the elders of the Quraysh who migrated before the conquest of Makkah. I called them and they all unanimously said, we think that you should return with the people and not expose them to this plague. Umar radiallahu anhu then announced to the people, I will be returning tomorrow morning so that you people should also prepare returning in the morning. Hazrat Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah radiallahu anhu said to him, are you fleeing from the decree of Allah? Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu said, if only someone besides you had made such a statement. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu disliked opposing Hazrat Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah. Umar radiallahu anhu said, yes, we are fleeing from the decree of Allah ta'ala and going towards the decree of Allah ta'ala. If you had camels and they descended into a valley which had two sections, one of which was fertile and the other was barren, if you were to graze them in the fertile area, will you not be grazing them by the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And if you were to graze them in the barren area, will you not be grazing them by the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Hazrat Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu had been busy elsewhere and then arrived and said, I have some knowledge regarding this. I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam saying, when you hear of a plague in an area, do not go to it. And if you are in an area where a plague erupts, do not flee from it. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu then praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and returned to Madinah Sharif. And Usama ibn Zayd radiallahu anhu an Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam qal, إذا سمعتم الطاعون بأرض فلا تدخلوها وإذا وقع بأرض وأنتم فيها فلا تخرجوا منها. متفق عليه. Hazrat Usama ibn Zayd radiallahu anhu narrated, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, when you hear of a plague in a particular area, do not enter it, and if it erupts in an area where you are, do not leave it. Now, this plague that they are speaking about here in the hadith are situations where people were dying in mass numbers. People were just dying continuously. You'll see like huge villages getting wiped out. Not a small sickness, but something that huge villages were coming out. And in that condition, yeah, he had sahaba with the different opinions what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was saying. So it is totally different. Sometimes people think that we are experiencing that condition at sahaba. It's a completely different situation what they were going through. Anyway, there was a nice incident that Hazrat Ibn Kathir rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned in his tafsir. And Mufti Shafi Sahib also mentioned an incident in Ma'riful Quran. That there was a woman that had given birth. Under this ayat that أَيْنَمَا تَكُونُوا يُدْرِكُمُ الْمَوْتُ وَلَوْ كُنْتُمْ فِي بُرُوجِ مُشَيَّدًا. Whoever you may be, death is going to find you, even if you are in elevated towers, fortified towers. So he said there was a woman that had given birth. In the time of the previous Ambiya alayhi salam, there was a woman that had given birth. And what had happened was, she told her servant, her helper, assistant, that go and get some firewood. So when he was going out to get some firewood, then somebody met him on the road and asked him that your person that you're working for had given birth. So what did she give birth to, a female or a male? So he said that it is female. So this person said that this female that has been born, she will commit zina 100 times. That will be her condition. And she will be killed by a spider. So those are the two things he told this person that was assisting. So he thought to himself, if this girl is going to commit zina 100 times, I'll actually do her a favor by killing her now, murdering her now, so that I can save her from committing zina 100 times. This hadith shows us that, or this incident shows us that when something is decreed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah Pak wants it to happen, nothing will change. So what he did was he took a piece of sharp instrument, a piece of wood, and he went in and he stabbed this girl in the stomach, stabbed a few times, and he ran out and he went. And he took refuge in another country. He left his country and he went and he took refuge in another country. So now what had happened, the mother of the child managed to try and put a bandage, managed to try and save that stomach. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made it such that this girl lived. The girl had lived and she had become the most beautiful girl in the town. Most beautiful girl. But because of her beauty, somehow she got involved in haram. And with over 100 people she had committed zina. Now this person went away in a foreign country and he started earning and earning and earning and he amassed a lot of wealth. A lot of wealth this person had tried to murder this baby. When he came back after many years, he meets one of the old women and he tells the old woman, you know what, I want to get married but find me the most beautiful woman in the town. So this old woman said, no problem, I'll do that for you. So she arranges for him to get married to this girl. He doesn't even know who this girl is. She's the same girl that he tried to murder. So anyway, this when he meets her, now she tries to find out from him, who are you, what is your story? So he gives the full story, that I was a person, I was working for a woman, and then I tried to kill the child because the child was going to commit 100 times zina, etc. So then she says that, you know what, I am that same child, I am that same girl. And then she shows him the mark, she shows the mark on the stomach, that this is that wound that had come as a result of that stabbing. And then he tells her that you must have committed zina 100 times. So she said, that I'm not sure about. But you corrected many times, many, many times. So he says, no, 100% that you must have committed zina 100 times because this was... And he said, one more thing I was told at that time, is that a spider will kill you. So now this person had a lot of wealth he had amassed. And he liked this woman a lot. So what he did was he built a very, very high tower, fortified tower. And he ensured that thing was clean, clean, clean. You know, obviously very, very clean. So there's no chance of any spider web coming. Very smart, very fortified, very high, and very, very clean. Once they were relaxing on the bed, and then he noticed there's a spider there on the roof. So he tells her that there's a spider, be careful. So she tries to show her bravery, that you're trying to tell me that I'm going to be killed because of something like this, something so small. She goes to hit it, the spider falls down, and she tramps it. She tramps it, and the poison comes into the foot. And when it comes in her foot, it started to spread and spread and spread. And that was the mean of this woman passing away. So anyway, the reason why this incident was brought was show that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed your death, it doesn't matter what you try and how you try, there's no way you can avoid death. Death is something that every person will meet. The conditional thing is we don't worry about when we're going to die, we have to worry about how we're going to die. May Allah give us all the tawfiq of making amal. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhanarabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun ala al-mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.